Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey, I bet you guys missed me. Welcome back to another fun episode of the Geekalaxy Podcast. David back in full effect with Randy and Justin. How are you guys doing today?
I'm fabulous.
I'm lovely. How are you doing?
I'm great. Randy, Justin's got a case of the giggles.
Oh, you man, it's not going away.
He's got that look of love going on.
Yeah. That's what love really looks like, Justin.
I've seen that before once.
Good clean love. In a movie. Utensils.
Oh, my goodness.
We're having a little behind-the-scenes meme war here, so, forgive us for sending inappropriate memes. Hey, shoot us something on Twitter, at Geek Legacy. Maybe we'll shoot you a couple. Maybe not some of these, but might send you a couple. But jump right into it. Game of Thrones. It's been great. It's been okay. It's been okay.
See, they're on the roll with the reveals.
Mm.
Yeah, they are. One after another. Jared last week, who joined us, Jeff Muller, he was saying something to the effect of he feels like a lot of these reveals haven't been earned. And we got a pretty big one yesterday with the Hound. The Hound is back.
Love it.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of those ones where we never saw him die on screen, so anyone could argue at any point that he was still alive.
Yeah, which we'd been all hoping, yes. Not so secretly, that he was still alive.
Yes, and the more Hound, the merrier.
Yeah, I love the Hound, and one of the real popular fan theories out there is they call it Clegane Bowl.
Oh, I heard about that.
And so, you know, obviously, Cersei is going to do trial by combat against the Church, and her representative is obviously going to be the Mountain. And so everyone was hoping that maybe the Sparrow would find a way to get the Hound, and we get the Hound versus the Mountain, because, you know, obviously they have no love for each other. So maybe it's going to happen.
But why on earth would he ever return to King's Landing? That's unless the Brotherhood Without Banners were to capture him and then try and turn him in to King's Landing. That's the only thing.
Or maybe he just catches wind of it, or he chases them too. I don't know. He just needs to get to King's Landing in time so he can kill the Mountain or Rick Strong or whatever his fucking name is.
That'd be great if his name is Strong, because he is strong.
It is. Robert Strong, that's his name. And,
really?
Well, I mean, that's his, like, zombie mountain name, because, you know, Gregor Clegane is dead. You know, he can't be...
Oh, I understand. It's not the actor's name.
No,
it's the character's name. I was like, wow, what are the odds?
The actor's like Thor something. And
it's like that guy Webb that directed Spider-Man. That was just Mark weird.
Yeah. It's what a coincidence. So, yeah, well, what did you think of the show episode, Randy?
I thoroughly enjoyed it from the reveal at the very end, at the very beginning, even through, spoiler warning, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, through, Arya getting stabbed a whole lot. She got all stabby stab.
Ooh, yeah, prison shank style.
Yeah.
Except in the stomach instead of the back.
Yeah. Like, slit in the belly and then stab, 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 stab.
But didn't the guy, Jack and Hagar, say, end her quickly? She didn't do that. She had simple fucking instructions, and she couldn't even follow them.
Well, because she wanted to... She never liked her to begin with. She wanted her to feel it.
Well, I think that's going to backfire.
I agree. Because there's no way they're killing off Arya. Not right now, anyway.
That would be funny if they did.
Gotta save it for sweeps!
Yeah. Remember when the sweeps just meant that two girls were going to kiss on screen?
Mm.
Not really like that anymore.
They were simpler times back then. Yeah. We got a whole make-out, naked lady kissing scene in this episode.
Oh, yeah, with the Greyjoys.
Osha. Yara.
Yara, yeah.
You'll have to forgive me. I watched the last 2 weeks' episodes back-to-back, so I may slip here or there with that episode that took place 2 weeks ago. But, yeah, I thought everyone seemed to dislike the episode the week before, but maybe it's because I watched them back-to-back. I enjoyed the pacing, even though neither one had Tyrion.
Right, yeah. I know. I noticed that 2 weeks in a row. So do you think they're setting up for some girl-on-girl action? When
Daenerys and...
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm down.
Like, no man can tame her, but maybe a chick can.
Ooh.
ride the dragons.
And she's a, I mean, let's fast forward a little bit. Let's just say that Daenerys has to pick two more dragon riders. I think that that young lady has what it takes to get on top of a dragon and ride it. I mean, she can lead a whole fleet of sailors to into battle. So she has that war mentality, and I wouldn't be surprised if she ended up on a dragon.
That'd be cool. I mean, I think it. Everyone assumes it's going to be Daenerys, Jon Snow, and Tyrion. So it would be nice if it wasn't. Like, ah, we were almost there, but I don't want it to be as obvious as most people think.
Fool you.
Yeah, sucks to be you, bro.
Later, dudes.
And I was like, later, dude.
Do you feel that the Hound with his bright and shiny Vatos, that storyline was either rushed or just fell flat? Did we need to spend more time with the AA meeting, or was it we got all that we needed from it to understand that the Hound, that let's just say that gods do exist, and that the Hound is being punished by still being alive and trying to maybe even understand why he's alive and maybe even getting, you know, a breath of fresh air and an ounce of happiness. Is that all that we needed, or did we need more?
I think it felt like we got a lot, in my opinion.
Okay.
It felt like we were on the Hound for a lot of that episode, seeing the little cult he was involved in.
On PX-41?
Or PX-42 if you're out of room. Yeah, I love Ian McShane, and so I was happy. I knew he was only in one episode, and so I was pretty excited that this was the episode, and I thought he did a great job kind of letting Sandor know, like, what he needed to know, and it looks like he was going to go off and get his own little sweet revenge against the Brothers Without Banners. Hopefully, it doesn't end up with a confrontation or an introduction of Coldheart. If it does, I'll be very sad. Because she's dumb.
Oh, is that... Is that Catelyn Stark?
It is. I was trying to...
Is it talk. Lady Coldheart? Is that her name?
It was, but I was trying to talk in code for Randy. He doesn't read.
Oh. It's okay. I don't listen either.
He's not. I thought it was Stoneheart. Is it not? Is it Cold?
Yeah, it might be Stoneheart. You could be correct.
Cold Hands, Stoneheart.
There you go. Can't lose. So yeah.
Fucker.
Oh yeah, fuck her hard. In the new slit they made in her throat.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, now you're talking about
with
language.
With Brienne's penis.
Yeah, but she got to open her mouth so you can see it, like, pop up like a whack-a-mole game.
Oh, there you go.
Tip.
Like a Pez dispenser. You put it in there and makes the head, top of the head go up and down.
Yeah.
It's like, look, she's talking.
Somewhere on the internet there is that porn, I'm sure. The internet is just a vile place.
If not, there will be now.
You know, I will say that I love the internet. It is the greatest thing ever. We were watching Rocky Balboa today. Great movie. Fantastic movie. And the entire time that Mason the Lion Dixon's manager is talking to him, I'm like, oh my god, this guy has to be modeled after that one asshole sports agent. And I couldn't remember his name, but I knew it was Drew something. I typed in Drew, and it automatically popped up Rosenhaus. I was like, oh my god, I love the internet. It's so great. I didn't even have to punch in the R. It just knew what I was thinking. The Google knows. And I thought that was fantastic.
Skynet has here.
Oh, it's so cool. I love it. Al Gore did something amazing. He invented the internet.
The man bear pig.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah, no, it's a good episode.
Yeah. What would you give it?
Ooh. You know what? I like this entire season, I would give it a B+.
Randy.
I'd give it a straight B.
I'm gonna go B+. I love the Hound, I love Ian McShane.
And the little girl, she was fantastic.
Oh yeah. Little Mormont?
Yeah, the little Mormont. I forget her name.
Liza.
The little Liza bear. Mormont. Yeah, she was awesome. She's like, talk to the hand. She like silenced her maester.
Yeah, she's like, shut your mouth or I will silence it for you.
Yeah, no, she was great. And yeah. I liked Ser Davos. He had a really good scene with her. That guy's just fantastic at everything he does.
Did I miss something? Where'd Melisandre go? And when did they send Brienne off? Did I miss something?
Maybe Brienne is the one that has the letter. Maybe she couldn't trust it with a raven, so she gave the letter to Brienne to take to maybe the Blackfish. I don't know.
So Brienne's in with the Blackfish next episode.
So. Yeah, so I mean that's what I have to assume the letter was to. But maybe she didn't trust a raven with it, and so she gave it to her to take.
But she wasn't there the whole time. Like I got the impression she was already gone, like before they got to Mormont. Like I thought maybe the letter was to Baelish.
Oh. Maybe
I could be wrong. I don't know
either. Yeah, it was either the letter was either going to Baelish or it was going to Blackfish, one of the two. I don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows. Find out next week.
All I know is there's gonna be some cool ass Jamie shit coming up.
Yeah.
That's always good.
Mm-hmm. And Bronn was in it. That was good.
Yeah. Bringing it back. Mm-hmm. Slapping around the phrase like the pieces of shit they are.
Yeah, they are terrible. The whole realm knows it.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to count to three. 2.5. 2.75. Oh, you're not going to fucking kill him.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to see a Lady Stoneheart? Now you got me thinking about it.
I have a bad feeling that we are.
Really?
Mm.
Why on earth would they reintroduce the brothers without banners? After all this time of just complete silence on the matter, they bring them up.
Uh-huh.
Only reason they can bring them up is like, oh, who's the leader? Oh, yeah, Lady Stoneheart, the fucking stupid.
And why would she be the leader instead of Donna Darian or whatever?
Well, he brings her back and says, hey, you're in charge now.
I'm tired of dying and coming back to life.
Ain't nobody got time for this shit. And then remember she has Brienne deliver a message to Jaime, and we got Brienne and Jaime interacting next episode. So next episode's episode 8. So usually nine's the big episode. Last year it was 8, but every other year it was 9.
Yeah, so what episode is that? What's going to happen? Is it going to be a big battle? Is it going to be the end of the Boltons?
Yeah, it's good. The big episode's got to be the Boltons versus the Battle of the Bastards, as mm-hmm. they're calling it. Snow Bolton.
Who's they? The internet?
The internet. Your favorite, the best place in the world?
Yes.
Yeah, the Battle of the Bastards.
Huh. Interesting.
And hopefully Jon Snow takes the head of the other one.
Ooh.
And then gives it
to Sansa. And then wears it, yeah.
I've got to give it to Sansa, and then Sansa puts it under his skirt, and he's like, ah!
It's a bowling ball. Oh, no, that's it. You went a different route.
I went just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You were probably more apt. Mm. Your decorum was more correct. Hey, Randy.
Yeah?
Tell me about these Rogue One reshoots. What's this bullshit they're telling me?
Okay, so apparently the rumor on the street is...
Word on the street.
Wait, you
the one thing you can trust is the word on the street, kid.
Yeah, you talking to people on the street, Randy?
Well, by street, I mean internet, because I don't leave my house at exactly. all, ever.
Smart. What are the hookers whispering in your ears?
Oh, they don't stick around long enough to talk.
Oh, okay. No problem talk.
Yeah. So this is strictly from the internet streets.
Yeah, their throat is in no condition to talk after Randy's done with them.
Yeah. Wow.
Wreck that shit. All right. Moving on. What were we talking about?
Rogue.
Oh, yeah. Rogue One.
We're busy earning our explicit tag on iTunes.
Oh, we're in the show.
I know. I just always do it now, no matter what. I'm like, well, we might have talked about throat fucking or something like that. So let me go ahead and just check explicit just to be safe.
Honestly, yeah. So much stuff comes out of our mouths that we don't even I personally don't even remember saying. But
offensive.
Terribly. Rogue One. So the word on the internet is that apparently some Disney executives have seen a cut of the movie and thought and determined that it did not fit in the theme that other Star Wars movies did, that it felt way too much like a war film, which is what director Gareth Edwards was aiming for from the very beginning, from the get-go at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim last year. they were touting the fact that this is going to be unlike any other Star Wars movie we've ever seen. It's going to be gritty. It's going to have this war film vibe to it. And somebody even went so far as to compare it to, like, Saving Private Ryan in the Star Wars universe.
That's awesome. They just open up their little cargo door and then they get blown apart.
Your stormtroopers wandering around trying to stuff their intestines back inside their armor. It's terrible. But anyway, apparently it doesn't fit with the theme that the Disney company overall wants for the Star Wars movies. Not really the theme so much as the feel. And after the gigantic success that they had with The Force Awakens, they're like, holy shit, we probably don't want to test the viability of a standalone non-Skywalker-related non-saga film. But they don't want to test the waters with something that is so out there, that's so just non-Star Wars feeling. So they're changing it up a little bit. Some rumors have said that they're reshooting up to 40% of the movie. I think that's just an exaggeration. I don't believe that is actually true, because they were always going to be planning about a 4-week reshoot. They always do that after the rough cut of the movie, just to kind of fill in any necessary holes. And because so much stuff ultimately gets cut, they might need to shoot bridging material just to make stuff make sense, that sort of thing. So, I mean, that's completely not out of the question. But they're talking about 6 to 8 weeks of reshoots. So it does sound significant. And here we are, the month of June. We are literally 6 months away from release. So it sounds like it's a little bit more dire than it actually is. But a lot of big tentpole movies go through reshoots like this, and it shouldn't be seen as a symptom of the fact that the film is floundering. I don't think that's the case at all. I think they just want to make the absolute best non-saga Star Wars movie that they can to ensure that people are going to continue to go see these outside of Episode 8 and 9, you know? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you guys?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and Episode 7 had like 4 weeks of reshoots. I mean, so it's not like this is even unheard of in the Star Wars universe. And yeah. Disney's real big on spending the money that needs to be spent to make their movies good. Avengers had reshoots like less than 2 months before it was to come out, so
well,
I don't think it's the end of the world yet.
Well, speaking of budget, one of the other rumors about this was saying that the budget was slashed pretty drastically before production began for Rogue One. So while they intended to do more of the movie practically, they ended up having to incorporate more CG elements than they originally would have liked. And now with the money that they're putting into the reshoots here, it pretty much equals the original amount of the budget from the get-go. So it's almost like it's meant to relay the message that had they done it right in the first place, maybe we wouldn't be here now. And I don't know if there's any truth to that, but that's just, you know, the dark underbelly of the internet where these Star Wars rumor websites lie. The dwellers in that dark place say such things.
So, as far as arguing that Star Wars feeling, I think that can be a little weird, because regardless of the tone, I think it's the music, the sound, and just the overall aesthetic as far as like vehicles, wardrobe, characters, even like for like Vader, for example. All of those things are all key elements that give it that Star Wars feeling. So even if it is shot a little darker, because it has the music and those familiar pachu-pachu sounds and the spaceship sounds and the wardrobe, to me, that is Star Wars. The first thing I think of when I hear the music come on is I get the chills, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is fucking Star Wars. Well, I don't care what happens on screen. It's just those moments that get me excited for Star Wars.
Well, that brings us to a couple questions. And we've talked about this before. Are we going to get that opening crawl? Are we going to have the music associated with that? Or is it going to start in a completely different way? This is uncharted territory here, because this is the first time we're seeing a non-Skywalker saga film. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to see how it's gonna play. But I also want to pose.
I think they're going to be their best way to like let people know instantly this is not Episode 8. It's going to have the crawl. It's going to say a Star Wars story, Rogue One, and then it's going to have this crawl that has nothing to do with Luke Skywalker and things. They'll be like, oh, shit, this isn't about Luke Skywalker. All right, now I can enjoy this movie. If ever there was a movie that needed a crawl, it's this movie.
Well, Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's the smart way to do it. That way you're setting people up. You're setting the expectations early so that they can't bitch and complain. But, you know, people are always going to bitch and complain anyway. But answer me this. Yeah, answer me this. What was the very first thing you guys said after watching the Rogue One teaser? What's the very first thing everybody on the internet said?
I said, oh my God, it looks bad. I thought it looked like Star Wars. I felt like Star Wars.
Yes, that's it exactly. It feels like Star Wars, just from the look of that.
Yeah, it felt like a New Hope Star Wars, original right, Star Wars.
Right,
yeah, but to Justin's point, it was the music and some of the iconography. I mean, like, the way it was shot and visually, it looked it was very un-Star Wars-like. I mean, like, them running towards the AT-ATs and stuff like that. What made it Star Wars was it felt like Star Wars. It had that Star Wars music. It had, you know, like Justin said, had the pachu-pachus. But, I mean, yeah. we had a blind, basically like a blind samurai. We had Forrest Whitaker doing a voiceover. We had an unknown female antagonist. You know, there was a lot of this isn't Star Wars in that. But you could tell it was in that world because of the music and the sounds.
The music, the sounds, the look. I mean, in terms of the look of the world, not the look of the cinematography, but the
The look of space.
Familiar environments. We see the base on Yavin 4. We see familiar looking troopers. We see the freaking Death Star and Star Destroyers and X-Wing pilots. We see enough familiar stuff to make us say, hey, that feels like a Star Wars movie, even though it might be shot a little different.
And that's okay. I think that's great.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't – I'm saying that the biggest thing that this has going for it and the thing that came out of everyone's mouth the day that teaser dropped is, wow, this feels like Star Wars again.
It did. It felt amazing. I felt like I just got rewounded into 1977/83. And I felt like I was watching Star Wars, and it was great.
Yeah, I could see. You know, I have two thoughts on this. You know, as a pessimist, you know, Gareth Edwards is an amazing director, but what made his Godzilla so good was it was almost like a fuck you to like blockbuster filmmaking. You know, he rarely showed Godzilla till the very end. And he several times like showed it like in a tease or you saw it on like news footage. And, you know, where you would think it was like a cop-out, like a Jaws-style cop-out, you know, don't show him the monster, don't show him the monster. I think that was just his creative decision. And I could see him wanting to really make a movie that didn't look, feel, or, you know, he might want to limit the Star Wars, you know, iconography and, you know, the weapons and stuff like that. I could see him delivering them, you know, a two-hour, 20-minute film without all the bleeps and boops and wah 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 and pew pews.
those are all my favorite sounds, Dave.
Yeah, they cut a 2-minute trailer. I mean, or a 90-second trailer. I mean, they could easily find 90 seconds of fucking stormtroopers and Death Stars. And so I could see that, but I honestly think this is their way of pigeonholing the new Han Solo into it. I think that. That Disney, who owns Marvel and owns Star Wars, I think they got a huge confidence boost when everyone just went batshit crazy about Peter Parker, Spider-Man in Civil War. And I think they want to where now they know people are in for Star Trek, for Spider-Man Homecoming. Even though it has a terrible title and a terrible title card, people are excited because they want to see Hot Aunt May. And they want to see Tom Holland just kick ass as Spider-Man. And I could see them trying to see to get that similar reaction out of their young Han Solo. That instead of spending $175 to $200 million on a Han Solo film, they can almost use this as like a semi-backdoor pilot just to like gauge the interest. So they can know, do we need to make a small Han Solo movie? Or can we make just a balls-to-the-wall Han Solo movie because people are into this kid? So I don't know. Like I was describing before the podcast, and I'm sure no one wants to hear it again, you know, Han Solo did play heavily into the finding of the Death Star plans.
And I think you should share that story.
In the expanded universe. So I think that it would be great if he had some form of involvement.
Can you set the stage for us? I'm happy to hear the story again.
Sure.
I mean it. I think it's an important piece of Star Wars history, and it'll be interesting to see how much of this plays into this new universe that they are building.
Gotcha. Okay. So in the expanded universe, which Disney, which no longer exists, you know, it's Legacy Tales, Han Solo had a girlfriend. Her name was Bria, or Bray, you know, B-R-E-A. And they had a falling out. They went their separate ways. Han Solo became a smuggler extraordinaire. She ended up becoming a rebel operative. You know, they reconnected several years later, where she came to Han, who she knew he was in trouble because he owed Jabba the Hutt a ton of money, and said, "Hey, I have this massive score. You know, if you do this with me, you'll be set for life. You can pay off Jabba. You can get back to your smuggling scoundrel ways." And he's like, "Well, why do you need me if you already have all the details?" "Well, I need you to bring all of your friends." So Han went to Lando and went to all his other smuggler friends, said, "Hey, we got this huge score. Come with me to this planet run by a Hutt. We'll go in there. We're going to split everything with my ex-girlfriend." Han vouches for her. Lando and everyone goes there. They go in. They go in the bunker. They go to steal the money. They realize there's nothing there. Meanwhile, Han's girlfriend has snuck into the computer system, has stolen the plans for the Death Star for the Rebel Alliance. She takes off, leaving Han to kind of hold the ball. So now all the smugglers are pissed at it. This is why Lando is unhappy with him, or while they're afraid to meet up with Lando in Empire Strikes Back, because, you know, they really have not repaired that rift since, you know, Lando almost got killed on this damn fool idealistic crusade. You know, Han's girlfriend has the Death Star plans. They get marooned on a planet. Maybe it's the planet from Rogue One. Who knows? They're pinned down. They're not going to survive. They just happen to, luckily, a ship, you know, the Tantive IV, Princess Leia's ship from Episode 4, just happens to be in this sector. They transmit the plans there. Princess Leia takes off. That's how A New Hope starts. You know, Han Solo's girlfriend's left, and she gets killed, tragically. Han, you know, never knows this. He just thinks that his girlfriend fucked him. You know, he doesn't think that anything more altruistic happened. Walks into Mos Eisley Cantina thinking, "Oh, well, maybe my luck will change." And that's when he runs into Luke Skywalker. So Han never realizes that he helped steal the Death Star plans and that he was an important part in arguably the most important thing for the Rebel Alliance. But, you know, he was involved in an integral part of that. So I would love to see, you know, if they want to bring young Han Solo into it, I have no problem with it. Obviously, they're not going to do beat for beat, you know, what we just talked about, especially since the trailers make it look like that what's his name is going to be like a Han Solo, you know, archetype. So yeah. So Han Solo, the more the better. But it goes against.
And Chewbacca is with him at this time, obviously, because.
Correct.
It ends. That whole story ends moments before he and Chewbacca are in the cantina in Mos Eisley.
Correct. And, you know, everything that's pointed towards Han Solo's standalone movie makes it seem like it's going to take place, you know, several years before this. But, you know, who knows? It kind of flies in the face of, you know, we wanted this movie to be different. And if they're going to pigeonhole Han Solo into it, it kind of takes a little shine off of it. But if it's done right, I'm okay with it. And we get to see what this new Han Solo kid's going to be like before we have to pay $12 to see his own movie.
Mm-hmm. Now, the main girl that's in it, what's her
name?
That's Felicity Jones, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, as far as the age goes, is she about the same age as Han Solo, or is she much younger?
I would say that she's probably a little bit younger, but, you know, Han's probably, you know, in A New Hope, he's less than 30.
Okay. So there's no way that these two are going to meet up in his solo film either, right? To bridge those in any way, shape, or form?
It really depends on how far they
go back.
Go back in his solo film. It's 100% possible if they shoehorn him into, you know, this movie. You know, there could be some backstory, you know, or you know, some backstory that we don't know about them, that maybe that's what's explored in the Han Solo movie. Maybe, you know, if Jin becomes this huge breakout character, we could see her in previous other installments. Nothing is in stone, as they say.
Interesting.
Randy's awful quiet. It makes me think he might, from the spoiler forums that he goes to, he might know something.
He's like, "Damn it, Dave, you're way off base," or, "Oh my god, idiots. You got it all. You got it all figured out. You know everything." Like a teenager talking to their parents.
All rampant speculation. I don't know. I haven't read a single spoiler on Rogue One. All I know is what's been in the trailer and what's been in the trades. So yeah. It's all rampant speculation on my part.
Well, everything on the internet's rampant speculation, and it should be treated as such. No matter how many people swear up and down that these are spoilers, this is actually going to be what it's going to be. I mean, nobody knows. And different rumors are coming in every week. So just take it all with a grain of salt. I enjoyed hearing the backstory, the original Legends Expanded Universe backstory. I'd like to see some of that incorporated into Rogue One, but we'll see. On a side note, I will say, and this is something that David just texted you about the other day. I heard rumor that Grand Admiral Thrawn is going to make an appearance in season 3 of Rebels, which is amazing because
nothing made me happier.
Yeah, it would be amazing to see that character resurrected from the dead expanded universe and made canon, made whole again.
Can I say something on that? I had sex twice that day, and I laid on a beach in paradise, and that was the best thing that happened to me that day. Was you telling me Grand Admiral Thrawn was going to be in Rebels?
Oh, I told my
don't tell my wife.
Yeah, she doesn't listen to the show.
As long as he doesn't die like a bitch and just be like a one-season villain in Rebels, it'd be amazing. But even if he does, I mean, at least he's canonized. But still.
Legitimize my favorite character. Yes.
Yeah. Good times.
Great Justin times. Has nothing to say.
I know. For once, I got nothing. Oh, market calendars, this happened.
Well, what do you think about the reshoots, Justin? Does this frighten you, or is it just like, movies cost so much money, you got to make sure you get it right?
I feel like the franchise is in really good hands, but at the same time, I'm always going to have that doubt, like what it could have been, and it's going to be a debate forever because we never saw it. And I don't know. When I walk out of the theater, I could say, wow, that movie was awesome. But no matter what, I'm still going to say, I wonder what it was before the reshoots. Assuming it was truth about changes based on tone.
Right. Which we'll never know.
Yes. So.
I think that's the worst part is that, you know, Gareth Edwards, the director, you know, Disney, Kathleen Kennedy, everyone's going to just underplay this as, you know, this shit happens, you know. We decided to add an action sequence or something like that. Disney really liked what they saw, so we added an action sequence. Or just they can say something wasn't playing right. They were pretty open about the whole Lupita Nyong'a stuff, the Kazmanata, that it just wasn't working. So maybe there's something that just isn't working they want to go back and fix.
Yeah. Oh, man, I sent that to you guys. One of your texts ruined my whole thing. Thanks a lot.
What?
I resent one of your stupid memes to you guys because you guys kept sending them. It went back to your guys' feed instead of who I meant to send it to.
And then I just sent you a new one.
I saw that. That's when I realized that I sent it to you guys. I'm like, God damn it. Stupid phones.
Stupid telephones.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. One of my bigger gripes is that the movie's going to come out, and then a year or two from now, there's going to be some interview with some European magazine where Gareth Edwards is going to say something that's going to rub me the wrong way. And I hate when that happens. Like, oh, you like the movie now? You should have seen it before, but then Disney fucked me over or something like that. I don't want that to happen.
I could see that.
It happens like, all or the him, time.
Right, or him outlining something like, oh, I had this fucking idea, it was going to be this, but fucking Disney was like, no.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Or if there's negative reviews for Rogue One, if it's like frowned upon. You know, we saw it a lot with Ant-Man. You know, everyone is inevitably comparing, you know, Peyton Reed's Ant-Man to what Edgar Wright's Ant-Man was going to be. And I hope that doesn't happen. I hope it doesn't escalate farther than this. I hope that they do these reshoots, and what they really need to do right now is they need to release a new trailer just to remind people, like, no, this shit's awesome. You're going to love this shit. Don't worry.
Right. It is interesting.
I don't know. Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's I think we're fine. If it were really, like, end of days, they would have replaced Gareth Edwards as the director, and they've all been very open that Christopher McQuarrie is not coming on board to take over. you know, he was brought on a couple of months ago to help punch up some stuff on the script. But he's not going to be directing this, which would be funny because he directed Rogue Nation. It'd be funny if he directed Rogue One too, but that's neither here nor there. So if it were a shit show, they would have replaced Gareth Edwards.
Right.
True.
And got Zack Snyder.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
I would just,
that would be awesome.
Fry. I'd be like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Oh man.
I would have to rename my kid.
And we still don't know what the third standalone movie is going to be? Or do we? There's a Rogue One and a Han Solo and one more?
Well, they're going to go on forever, but those...
But I mean, there's as of right now, there are three planned.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah, there's some rumors that it's going to be Boba Fett, some rumors it's going to be Yoda, some rumors it's going to be Obi-Wan. It's all up in the air right now.
Yeah. The only ones that are confirmed are the ones, the Rogue One and Han Solo, because they have... actors and directors.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it is nuts. Like, X-Men. You got an idea, Justin.
Yeah, X-Men. So, last week, we were talking about this new movie, this Apocalypse... X-Men Apocalypse Now movie. What was it called? I already forgot.
X-Men Apocalypse?
Is this it? Just X-Men Apocalypse? It's not like Rise of Apocalypse or...
Just X-Men Apocalypse.
How sad. You know, this is so funny because you... One of my favorite words of yours is, like, forgettable. And I think this movie just turned into one of those forgettable blockbusters because I already forgot what it was called. How sad is that? And this is just started. Anywho, God, it's terrible. So here's a franchise that has been around for now 16 years, as far as continuity goes. You know, started with X-Men in the year 2000. It was a lot of fun. Wolverine has changed quite a bit in those 16 years. He's gotten ginormous. He's, like, freakishly big now. And it's just absurd. Like, when Mark McGuire, remember when he was, like, a little guy? And now and he became a giant? Same thing. They're popping the same pills. And, I'm just curious, do you think that this is a franchise that could stand to have a reboot? Are we ready for a new X-Men universe? Or do you think that with the success of Deadpool, do we have an opportunity to reboot the X-Men universe? One, two, three, go.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, we did reboot it with First Class, but then they decided that, let's bring the reboot into the old continuity and bring it all together. But yeah, First Class was a reboot. You know, they went a whole different direction. They brought in a talented director. You know, they started telling the origin tales in the 60s. It wasn't until Singer came back on for Days of Future Past that he kind of linked the franchises. And what was interesting, when he did Days of Future Past, he basically eliminated X-Men 1, 2, and 3. You know, those three movies don't take place anymore. And so it's a real interesting timeline that he's created to where he has 1, 2, 3, and then they have the prequel, and then the sequel to the prequel negates the originals.
Okay.
And they've
but
made that, this...
that's fine, but now they've brought in an acting pool, a talent pool, that can easily be viewed as A-listers. You got the Fassbender, you got the Jennifer Lawrence. You can't keep these people forever.
No, you absolutely can't. And
so how are you going to reboot a movie and then reboot it again?
So here's what they have on the slate right now. They have, you know, they have the New Mutants movie, which is currently in pre-production that, you know, will probably come out in 2018. You know, we're going to have Deadpool 2. You know, in 2017, that's going to introduce us to Cable. All right, so you use Deadpool 2. Where you have Deadpool and Cable. Now you've introduced Cable into this universe. Now you can spin Cable off into X-Force. Into his, you know, he's the leader of X-Force, you know, which is a more, you know, R-rated version of the X-Men. You know, you got the Strongman and all of those people. So now you have your X-Force franchise, you know, to where, you know, you can introduce other mutants into there. We're going to get the final Wolverine movie in 2017. Hugh Jackman's last stand as Wolverine. Rumors being that, you know, it'll be an old man Logan tale that'll introduce us to X-23, who is the female Wolverine. Now you have her. She can take over the mantle of Wolverine. She can either go on to her own things, or maybe she can be the anchor to a new X-Men team. Fassbender, McAvoy, and Lawrence have all said that they would come back to future X-Men films only if all three of them are involved. Like, if one says no, they're all going to say no. And like we were talking about earlier, Jennifer Lawrence is an Academy Award winning actress who has scripts lined up. She can do whatever she wants. There's really nothing bringing her back to X-Men. You can tell by the amount of time she spent in the Blue Mystique outfit costume that she's kind of over the franchise. You know, it's like, I'll do this movie, but I'm only going to be Mystique for like 6 minutes of this movie. The rest, I'm just going to come in, I'm going to wear a cute outfit, and I'm going to wear makeup. Mm-hmm. And so I think that those three actors have kind of outgrown those roles. And Fassbender was amazing in Apocalypse. You know, you could say that Apocalypse was more Magneto's movie than anybody else. And I thought that he did a great job. You know, early word out of Assassin's Creed is that, you know, he's amazing in that as well. So I think that if that franchise takes off, I don't see him returning as Magneto for the X-Men franchise. I think he'll be like, well, I got my franchise. I got my safe paycheck. I can do one of these movies every other year. I can do two smaller movies that, you know, are more rewarding for me. I don't need to be Magneto again. And so you launch these new franchises, the New Mutants, X-Force, you know, maybe X-23. You know, the X franchise is growing and is going great. There's been 9 movies over the last 16 years. You know, they can survive without Scott Summers and Jean Grey.
That was going to be my follow-up. Do you think we want to watch an X-Men movie that doesn't have the top dogs?
I think it'd be a much harder sell. they didn't do a terrific job of setting up the new younger class of mutants. I mean, they were there. You know, the Alkali Lake scene was kind of a forgettable throwaway scene, and that's really the scene where they had the most action. Outside of that, they really didn't give any of the new people much to go on. You know, they were basically there so in the final act when they were fighting Apocalypse, they'd have more lasers and lightning and Phoenix stuff to throw at Apocalypse at the end. Their characters didn't really get developed. They really weren't important. So I don't know if we're ready for a standalone Sophie Turner, Ty Sheridan, Cody Smith led X-Men film without
the right. Right. And I get that. And that's an interesting point because like I like Hugh Jackman, right? Everybody does. He is Wolverine. And there's that time that's gonna come when somebody else gets the claws, and I don't know how we're gonna react to that.
Right. I think that if they're smart, they won't try to recast Logan. You know, they won't try to cast, you know, Wolverine that's Hugh Jackman's so iconic in for a little while. Eventually they'll have to. I mean, it's gonna suck, and whoever takes that role they got big shoes. Hugh Jackman is just like the greatest human in the world. And,
right.
I mean, it's gonna be rough, but I think that if they do it with X-23 or someone else, they can kind of lessen that blow for us. Like, we'll be used to, like, other people with claws, you know, as stupid as that sounds. And then, you know, 5 years, 7 years down the road, they can all of a sudden run into, like, another Wolverine, you know, who's basically playing Hugh Jackman's part, and it's just like a reboot, so. Mm-hmm. And it'll be sad. We'll be, hopefully Hugh Jackman is at a stage in his life where he's like, I applaud him, and he like does press with him and like hugs him and says like, oh, this guy's the best.
Mm-hmm. He's so, tops.
Yeah, he's tits. So, yeah. So,
Bub.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that everybody's in love with Deadpool. I think that they could really do some fun jumping off points from Deadpool. But, I mean, Colossus was in Deadpool, and no one wants a Colossus standalone movie, so... Who knows if Cable will have enough chutzpah in Deadpool 2 to really warrant spinning him off into his own team.
Right.
Unless Deadpool and Cable are both on the team.
Right. There's no stopping there.
No. Can't stop, won't stop.
People like their Deadpools.
I watched it last week. My wife hadn't seen it. And I showed it to her, and she actually really liked it too. I was surprised because she's kind of over superhero movies. She doesn't have the love that we do, so, but she liked the Deadpool.
I like superhero movies.
What do you think about rebooting X-Men?
No, it's one of those things where, you know, you make up some interesting points. They reintroduce a new timeline. We have a new Cyclops, a new Jean Grey, a new Storm. That's still in kind of the same universe, as it were. So it has a reboot within the reboot, so that it works. And as long as they're making X-Men movies, I'll go see them. I'm just, it's a different kind of reboot than what we're used to. You know, they still tied to the originals without, you know, by introducing new characters. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and you had a fun point last podcast where we were just talking about Tyler not watching the movies, saying that you said Tyler, because Tyler likes Cyclops and the X-Men movies don't.
Right. They really don't.
They really don't.
Yeah, you would think I was whispering into the ear of the director there.
Yeah, and I was really excited for Ty Sheridan, who played Cyclops, because he's going to play the lead in Ready Player One, which I yammer on about a bunch. But so I was really excited to see it, and then I was like, eh, they didn't really give him much. I don't know if it's Kinberg. Like, he's kind of been like the torchbearer for like the X-Men franchise for a while, and I'm just not... You know, and the Marvel property as a whole, you know, he did Fantastic or whatever. And, I don't know if it's him and his ideas, his direction, but I guess he brought us Deadpool, so I guess I can't complain too much.
So, I don't complain about anything.
You really shouldn't. It's not polite.
As long as they're making X-Men movies, I'll go watch them. I just got to remember the titles, that's all. And X2 is still my favorite.
Yeah, and I mean, X-Men basically created the modern superhero genre.
Absolutely.
You know, they came out in 2000, and it's been comic book movies up the ass since then. Sure. Most of which we liked, but some were just a little pointy or something. We didn't really like them as much.
Blade was really, really, really good, but at the time, it was new to me that it was from a comic book.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought it was just Wesley Snipes was at the pinnacle of his career, and he was doing another movie. I didn't realize at the time, until it came out, that it was actually a comic book.
Well, do you guys feel that we got enough of the New Mutants to spin them off into their own without McAvoy, Lawrence, Holt, or Fassbender?
I don't think so. I think we still need them to anchor the New Mutants.
Like, give them, like, one more.
Yeah, one more will do the trick.
But they seemed, and that was another thing about Apocalypse. Like, why did it have to be set in the 80s? Like, it seemed weird. The only person who it seemed to age, like, was Magneto. Like, you know, I see those 10 years. I see what happened. But like everybody else, it could have been like 4 weeks later.
Mm.
Like, even like our favorite Quicksilver is still in his mom's basement. Like, just like playing.
He jokes about that.
Yeah, he does. But I mean, like, you know, he's a pretty powerful mutant, and, you know, he's just hanging in his mom's basement for the last 10 years doing nothing.
Maybe he feels like he has to protect her in some way.
No. Maybe. You could be onto something, but...
I don't know. And honestly, especially since it was such a missed opportunity to explore the decade a little bit more. They had some fun moments with cars and clothes, but not in a Back to the Future way.
Yeah, and it seemed like that was the. It seemed like they set it in the 80s so they can make a Return of the Jedi joke. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, they didn't take advantage of, like, the political climate of the 80s. You know, I'd love to see what 80s
Reagan would have said.
Yeah. He would have. What would Ronald Reagan have thought of mutants, especially someone like Magneto, who basically, like, dropped a baseball stadium on Nixon? Mm-hmm. You know, what does Reagan think of mutants? I would have loved to have just seen something. You know, something about the political climate of the. If you're going to set it in such a, you know, iconic time frame, you know, give us something. And, you know, they've already said that the next one will take place in the 90s, so they're going to jump another 10 years. And, you know, everyone seemed to be the same age, like I said, except Magneto. Everyone else seemed like they just stepped out of, like, the next week.
I don't know,
it seemed like a missed opportunity. And am I the only one who remembers the Days of Future Past ended with Mystique as Stryker?
Yeah.
Like, what happens?
I think that's one of those things where no matter how much you try to alter the past, it catches up with itself, and the path corrects itself. So even though Mystique got Wolverine, somewhere down the line, Stryker still got his hands on him.
Yeah, and that's
a point that, I mean, I don't know if that's the case, but that is a point that they bring up in Days of Future Past, where they where Beast says something along those lines, and it follows the Lost logic. I always go back to the Lost logic. It's my favorite time travel. Aside from Back to the Future.
Days of Future Past was that they changed the future.
I know. Maybe so, but there are certain things that still have to happen. Those critical moments still need to take place.
Yeah, I buy that. And it was just that
they didn't address it. I get that.
Right.
And
when they shot Days of Future Past, they shot it without it being Mystique, and it was something they added like 2 weeks before the movie came out. Is they like digitally changed the eyes to yellow to be Mystique, so they had something in mind to where they made this last minute like alteration of the film, and then this movie was, you know, aside from the Alkali Lake stuff being completely unnecessary to the plot of the film, it seemed like this weird thing. And then they had the whole thing with, you know, Mr. Sinister in the after credit scene, and you know.
That's you your know, buddy. You like Sinister.
I love Mr. Sinister, but it's like, you know, I don't know. I liked Apocalypse good enough, I guess. But it just, it fell apart for me after the Quicksilver scene in the mansion. It just kind of fell apart. But that
Yeah, I forgot about that part. And like where, and not everybody makes it. That's kind of scary.
Everyone but Havoc.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think I got them all.
Yeah.
Just like matter of fact, like his brother just died, and he's like, "Eh, I think I got them all."
It's okay, not a problem. I like the beginning; it reminded me of like Stargate.
Yeah, yeah, cool. I dug everything up until after the mansion scene, and then it just kind of was all right after that. All right. The whole Alkali Lake stuff, like I said, seemed real out of place and really served no point in the film. You know, it just took them away for like 5 days while Apocalypse continued to destroy the world.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Let's just say that Mystique is having a really... Jennifer Lawrence is having a really good day, and someone talks her into doing a Mystique solo film. Do you think it would be successful?
Absolutely. I think the X-Men brand and Jennifer Lawrence, you know, I mean, I can't imagine it wouldn't be. I mean, assuming it's not just an utter piece of shit.
Do you think it would be Deadpool successful?
I think Deadpool's kind of lightning in a bottle, and I think they're going to run into that when they do Deadpool 2. They're going to. I don't see it being a billion-dollar film. I mean, Deadpool's made more than all the X-Men movies. I mean, Deadpool's the highest-grossing X-Men film.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't imagine. I can't see him as Mystique's not as interesting a character as Deadpool. Do you think? Do you think that?
I like the blue broads.
Yeah.
I don't think. No. I mean, I would go see it, but I don't. I might be in the minority.
Of this
era that we are in, this now infant stage era of female superheroes getting their due time, I think that she would be a good character to explore.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would be interested to see the 10 years in between Days of Future Past and Apocalypse. You know, she seems to be like this mutant Harriet Tubman, and I would be interested to see, you know, her character change from in between these two films. And so if they want to do a Mystique standalone, I think that would be a great time frame to explore.
Where she's trying to save mutants.
Right, to where she's kind of like a hybrid of Charles and Magneto. You know, she's got the altruistic, you know, nature of Charles, but she's actually in the field getting her hands dirty like Eric did, like Magneto did. To where Charles just kind of stays in his ivory tower and, you know, doesn't bother himself, mutants coming to him type thing, and it would be great to see that.
Sure.
Yeah. What about you, Randy? You in for a Mystique solo movie?
Yes, I love that. It.
Sorry, I had to unmute my mic. Yeah, I'd totally be down for that. It's just a matter of whether or not she's willing to do it.
Yeah. I'd be down for a Mystique Storm, like buddy cop.
Oh.
I think that Mystique needs somebody. Like she needs I don't want to say like a Colossus, but she needs like a bruiser with her.
Yeah.
Like I think that if you just put her by herself, I think that it would get stale after a while, just because it's just going to be her turning into somebody and somebody else. I'd love to see her with a Deadpool. That'd be fun. Just trying to bang her. Can you turn into anybody? I've always had this thing for Bo Derek. Can you? Like, just get Mystique drunk so she, like, just, like... All right, I'm going off.
I enjoyed watching her in Nightcrawler.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Nightcrawler was pretty good. Out of the young cast, I think he was the best.
Yeah, he was great.
I mean, and it was kind of weird, like, all the horsemen, like, none of them got, like, really, except for Magneto, the other three just kind of... I mean, Angel died. I mean, he said, like, 6 words in the movie.
I know, he got a lot of action. Got
murdered. And then Psylocke was the only one who didn't, like, be like, oh, maybe I should be a good guy. Like, she was, like, she stayed bad.
She's like, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Yeah, like, Storm and Magneto, they kind of came to, they're like, oh, maybe we're on the wrong side of this thing. And she just, like, slunk away, like in the dark, like Cobra Commander. Like, live to fight another day. Like, Psylocke!
Marty! Yeah. For all you sneakers fans out there, not a lot. But that's too funny.
Too many secrets.
Corey shakes his head every time I say that. So funny.
Well, you saw Ninja Turtles 2, right, Justin?
I did.
Why'd you tell us about it? It was fun, right?
It was fun. I had a blast. I'm pretty biased, though. I'm that asshole that just eats up the Ninja Turtles. Turtle soup, man. And it was like, it honestly felt like they just had this magical power to turn the cartoon into a live-action movie. And it felt just like the cartoon. It felt great. I was smiling. I was that asshole laughing at everything in the movie. Bebop and Rocksteady killed it. They were hilarious. And they looked great, too. The animation for them, the CGI for them was incredible. And Casey Jones was awesome. Everything about it. Will Arnett crushed it. He was hysterical in the movie. There is a little bit of the infighting, you know, like how brothers do. Family fights. That's just all there is to it. One of these days we'll get a Ninja Turtle movie where they don't get so heated with each other to where they go their separate ways for half a second and then come back and realize that they're stronger as a team, but I don't know when that'll happen. But it is fantastic. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Nice. And those of you that like Michelangelo was your favorite turtle, he will continue to be so. He's fantastic in this movie.
What grade would you give it?
Oh, man, I'd give it a B+. Fantastic. And Krang! Nice. Oh, my God! Fucking Krang! He was so cool. And the idea of Krang, when you watch him on the cartoon or just look at his toy or anything about him, just looks so ridiculous. But they pulled him off in the movie. He looked and sounded great. And Brad Garrett ended up being the voice for him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was originally that one dude from Saturday Night Live in, I think, Portlandia. I forget his name.
Obama.
Fred Armisen or whatever his name is. Yeah. But it was fantastic. Shredder's in the movie for like 5 minutes, which is kind of weird because he is like their arch nemesis. But Rocksteady and Bebop filled in the gap pretty well. Loved it.
And you said they were Rocksteady and Bebop like pretty early on.
Yeah. So they're regular humans at the very beginning, and then they have another scene where they're trying to just kind of find work, and then they ultimately get recruited by Shredder, and then that very next scene they get turned into mutants.
Nice. Yeah, it made like $35 million this weekend, so hopefully it continues to make money.
I think it'll do well overseas.
Oh, yeah. With the Chinese.
Yeah, they got Chinese money in this one, too. One of their studios put up a lot of cash for this movie.
Yeah. So that'll be good.
I think it'll be just fine.
Nice. I can't wait to see it. I would have seen it, but I was busy, so I'll probably see it this weekend with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love the first one. And I love Michelangelo in the first one, so I'm excited to hear you say that. Yeah. Everything you're saying is the right answer to get me excited. Michelangelo's cool, and that they're not humans. Roxy and Bebop aren't humans for a long time, and then Shredder's barely in it. So
yeah, and Tyler Perry, such an asshole. Like, this guy, he calls Shredder Sensei Shredder, and every time he says it, I just laugh my ass off.
I don't know if you want to spoil it, but does he transform in this movie? Or is that a spoiler?
Shredder?
No.
Oh, Baxter Stockman? Yeah. No, but there is some teasing involved, and there's so many fucking Easter eggs in this movie. Anyone that's ever watched the cartoon or watched the original movies or just or read the comics or just have an affinity for Ninja Turtles, you will pick up on an Easter egg in almost every scene.
Nice.
It's great.
Well, cool. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
You didn't see it, Randy, did you?
I did not, no.
You saw the first one, though, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Do you have an interest in seeing the second one, or are you just going to wait for HBO or something?
I do. I wanted to see it this weekend, but I only had time to see one movie, and I did not see Ninja Turtles.
What did you see again?
I saw The Nice Guys.
Oh, yeah, and you loved it, right?
I loved the hell out of it. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. I love me a good period piece.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Well, I love the 70s. A lot of it takes place the year I was born.
You think I would love it, because 70s is all about, like, ugly orange, but no. I just don't like the color palette of the 70s.
Oh, yeah, it's weird. There's this this mixer, this KitchenAid mixer that's, like, this puke green at Target, and it totally looks like it's off the set of the Wonder Years or something.
Mm-hmm. It's avocado.
Oh, it just caught me off guard when I saw it. I was like, whoa, that's the wrong decade.
Someone returned this from, like, the 70s?
I hope they had their receipt. Shit.
Nice.
And by the way, Brian T. is Shredder, and he is once again a bad guy. That's just what he does.
It's kind of his thing.
Yeah.
His thing. So you got a list for us, Randy?
I do, and you'll never believe it, it's Ninja Turtles related.
What? Like we planned it.
I know, holy shit. This comes courtesy of Ranker, so it has been voted upon by the internet itself. It took a physical embodiment and took a poll basically detailing everyone's favorite Ninja Turtles characters. And it goes from 1 to 29. I'm going to spare you and not go through all of them. Unless, of course, you want me to, but I'll start at the top of the list and work my way down. Of course, the first four are going to be the Ninja Turtles themselves. Do you either of you want to take a crack at guessing who is the highest rated of the Ninja Turtles?
Michelangelo, yeah. I would say Leonardo would be the least rated.
Oh. I'd say Raphael was least rated.
Oh, really? I love him. He's my favorite.
Oh, really? Leo's my favorite.
Oh.
But I like Cyclops, too, so...
Oh, I would say Leo, Donatello, Raph, and Michelangelo.
I would say Michael, Leo, Donnie, Raph.
Well, if this were a clickbait article, it would have the heading, "You will be shocked at who's number one." So number one is Raphael, who is my least favorite turtle.
Yeah.
Number two, Leonardo. Number three, Donatello. And number four, Michelangelo.
What?
I don't get it either. Blame the internet.
What?
Blame the internet.
That's okay, some Michael Bay hate there.
Number five, Casey Jones.
Oh, how was Steve Amell as Casey Jones?
Oh, he was good. I thought I mentioned that. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Was he Arrow just funny?
Yeah. There are some lines that I don't know. You'll know it when you see it. Like, kind of like a "that's boiling acid" kind of moment.
Nice.
But no, he was great. And there's this part where he, like, breaks, like, a office chair or something and puts the wheels of that on his shoes and starts skating. I think that's what happened. I don't know. I was feeding my face and I was in a food coma. I thought that's what happened. I don't know. But no, he was good. He was good. He plays the hockey, you know.
Yeah.
That's it.
Number six on the list is Splinter. So far, all good guys. Number seven, Shredder. Number eight, April O'Neil. Number nine, Leatherhead.
Yes! I guarantee!
Yeah.
I'd be remiss if I did not ask you guys, have you guys heard of the Ninja Turtles adult film?
No.
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, so it was really weird. I got, like, an actual press release. Have I talked to you guys about this already?
No, not me.
I think so.
Okay. So it was really weird. Like, it was an actual, like, you know, we get hundreds of press releases a day, but, you know, usually they're from, you know, actual studios or game companies. But this one came from the adult film company, like Woodcock or something like that, that, like, makes these movies. And it's just, like, 30-minute movie, and I'm not too, I saw it, and I'm like, I gotta click on this shit. And so, you know, I skipped through it. So basically the whole, it's like one scene and it's April O'Neil and Casey Jones going at it. But what's funny is the scene starts with April O'Neil walking into the turtle lair and then the spreader. That's what wow. I said. Spreader. A hot girl version of Shredder walks in. And the entire time that Casey Jones and April O'Neil are doing their thing, you hear them fighting in the background and like making like obscene comments at April O'Neil or like talking like, Casey, we could really use your help over here. And it's just the worst. I'm sorry.
I heard the costumes in that are like straight out of the 80s movies.
Yeah, they actually didn't look bad. There was some production value. And then the April O'Neil plays the porn star April O'Neil plays April O'Neil. So if you're a fan of hers, like our buddy Chung is a huge fan of hers, you know, you'll like it. And then at the end, it's this weird turtles thing where they have penises and there's green ooze, and I won't go into it.
Is there a musical number?
There is no music. Like,
does Vanilla Ice do a song?
No, Vanilla Ice.
Oh, darn.
He was too. He stopped, and he collaborated, and he listened.
That's a Easter egg in the movie too.
Ah, ninja rap, go ninja go.
Well, Vanilla Ice, Ice Baby's playing on a jukebox, and then at the very very end. There's a go ninja go moment.
Nice.
Well, moving on with our list. Number 10 is Slash. Do you remember that character? It's kind of like a roided out, I don't want to say the R word, version of a turtle. Like he's off.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's kind of like a snapping turtle-ish looking guy.
I'm looking at him right now. He's like big. He's like a Mongo looking guy.
Yeah, I vaguely remember him from the animated series, I think.
Yeah, no, he's cool.
I don't remember him, but I'm looking at pictures.
So that's the top 10. Believe it or not, Rocksteady and Bebop are not in it, but so they are. Weird. They are number 11 and 12.
Oh man, that's fantastic! And oh my god, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank right now. Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, he played the voice of Shredder in the cartoon.
Yeah.
James Avery. And I remember when he passed away a couple years ago, that made me so sad. He was such an awesome Krang.
In the world.
Oh, I'm sorry, Shredder. An awesome Shredder.
Speaking of Krang came in at number 16 on the list.
What?
Oh, man.
Chrome Dome at number 20. Baxter Stockman at number 27, and Ace Duck brings up the rear at number 28.
He was that wearing like that leather jacket or whatever, right? Ace Duck. So stupid.
He said, "No Yojimbo."
No Yojimbo, not on this list.
Usagi Yojimbo. Usagi. Great White Buffalo.
Good list, Randy. Good list.
Great list. Fun.
Yeah. Well, you guys got anything else to add? Any shout-outs?
We didn't talk about Archer live action.
I didn't know if you wanted to.
We all think it's a terrible idea. Moving on. We also Superman is going to be in the Supergirl series.
Sweet. Maybe I'll watch it now.
Yeah, I know. Well, at least he's gonna make an appearance.
Oh.
Randy is still glued to his television watching that show. And now it's on the CW. We'll see if it can make another season.
Well, it's got Superman, so... I mean, Superman is success, right? Just ask Zack Snyder.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think I said it the very first when they announced Supergirl or that we watched the pilot or whatever, that the most interesting thing about Supergirl was Superman. So now take that, feminism.
Yeesh.
That's probably the most sexist comment I've ever made in my life. Like, Supergirl needs Superman.
Pretty bad.
I'm not saying that all female characters need a female counterpart. I think a Wonder Woman show would be great. There was one for a long time in the 70s with Linda Carter. But Supergirl is just not that interesting a character.
Linda Carter was Wonder Woman.
That's what I said.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard Supergirl. I'm sorry.
No, I know. I was saying that not all characters needed a male counterpart. I was saying I would watch a Wonder Woman television show.
Ah.
So, yeah. What do you think, Justin? Is this kind of stunt casting enough to get you interested in watching it?
No, I watched the first episode. That was enough for me. It's not a bad show. I consider my time to be more valuable than the show.
Yeah. So you guys were explaining. I didn't realize that Supergirl took place on Earth 3. So
yes.
And you explained that. Like, so Earth 3 was Supergirl. Earth 2 is like the Zoom world. And Earth 1 is Flash Arrow.
Yes.
Correct. / Legends Tomorrow. So how did Flash cross over with Supergirl? Did they explain like him jumping worlds, or was that ever addressed?
He had a special contraption built onto his chest that helped him kind of at a certain speed open up a little wormhole that would allow him to travel. Because they were trying to experiment into figuring out how to have him freely move between Earth 1 and Earth 2 to fight Zoom. Uh-huh. Somehow, and I could be wrong. I don't think it's clearly defined exactly how he ends up in Earth 3.
He skipped on Earth. He went that fast.
Yeah. Oh, I got off at the wrong stop.
Hey, did you guys both see that? You guys both watched the finale of Flash, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, when he broke into two Flashes and the one died, did you think after he said goodbye to Iris, that was what he was going to do? He was going to go back and sacrifice himself? Did you guys think that's what was going to happen? Or was that
I didn't even pick up on that.
No. That's what I thought he was going to do instead of going and saving his mom and fucking everything up.
Yeah.
Flashpoint style.
Exactly. And that's going to be interesting to see how that affects the other shows. Since they do so many crossovers. And you better believe there's going to be a Supergirl, Arrow, Flash, Ahmad, Bruce Lee crossover.
It might get Bruce Wayne in this thing. Get Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah. Gotham. I can't believe that's still a show. What a piece of shit show that is.
Andy
likes that one too.
I still enjoy it. It's so
my god, it's so bad.
I like it.
It's the worst.
You like what's his name? The Penguin.
Robin Lord Taylor. Yeah, I like him. Yeah, but not enough to watch the show.
Do we know who the Joker is yet?
No. Has
it been revealed?
No.
Just hinted at, right?
And anything that's been hinted at has been completely, like, blown away. Like, the one kid that everybody thought was going to be the Joker, they fucking slit his throat. He's not coming back from that, you know? So I really don't know what's going on. And then, okay, so Jada Pinkett Smith's character gets kind of written off at the end of last season because you hear that she's not going to come back and do the show for whatever reason. So we're thinking her character's dead, and then they bring her back this season.
Did they really?
They resurrected her. They literally brought her back from the dead.
Oh my god, what a dumb show.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't watch it.
Do you watch Legends Tomorrow too, Randy?
I do.
Oh, that's the other show. So that'll be added to the crossover list too. It'll be one super mega brawl.
Are you going to watch Legends Tomorrow, Justin?
No.
Okay. Do you mind if I ask Randy a question?
Yeah, go for it.
So someone had spoiled something for me. So did they really kill Snart off at the end of season one?
It would appear that way.
What? Captain Cold?
Captain Cold, yeah.
Maybe, because isn't he going to go do Prison Break again?
Yeah, he's already doing it.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's a shame, huh?
And they've already said he's going to be back on Flash. I don't know how that works.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, the Legends timeline, they get picked up in a very specific part of 2016, and they're traveling all over. So, theoretically, if there's anything that happens before they all get picked up on this mission...
He's still alive.
They're still there, wherever they were picked up from, you know.
Right.
In 2016.
Especially since Flash is probably going to go back in time 3 years now.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Why didn't the Flash disappear?
What? Well, he did, sort of.
Well, yeah, the earlier one did.
Yeah.
What it is it takes time to catch up. See, the first one, the earliest one went, and then it's like a very short matter of time before the present day season 3 Barry Allen disappears.
Yeah, like Star Trek, remember a time?
Or season 2.
In order to have a past, you got to have a future.
Don't try to be a great man. Just try to be a man.
Think of anything.
You got nothing.
I don't. I'm so done.
Do you know that a rusty roof equals a wet basement?
Yeah, I don't get that.
I think it's because she's a redhead.
Ah! And rust is red.
And then, yeah. So like, your basement is wet.
Wet.
With an H.
I don't know about
some
that.
Some would say moist.
I like moist.
Like a towelette.
What was that one? Something about that makes me moister than an oyster.
Moister than an oyster.
Edgy, bro.
That's terrible. We need to start a Twitter account for like just awful memes. We'd probably be like a million followers.
Could this be Randy's Rocks?
Can we turn your Randy's Rocks into like just dirty memes?
Sure, just dirty memes and occasionally pictures of kidney stones.
Yeah, you'll have to shoot us over the login for that, and we'll just
real time. Have them insert one of those nanomachine camera type deals.
Yeah, we'll just schedule out like 2,000 of these to hit every like 15 minutes or something. we'll put a scraper on it. So, anything else, guys?
Mm-mm.
What do you got, Randy? I know you always got something.
I haven't got any screening information for Nonstop until August. We're going to be at Gen Con.
Maybe so they can make their
Absolutely. Of course, we're still running an Indiegogo campaign for Bloodsucker Jones versus the Creeping Death. Just go to Indiegogo and type in Bloodsucker, or just Google it. You'll find links to it everywhere. Yeah, we're still trying to raise money so that we can actually get this movie finished. We just shot last weekend. We shot another day, and it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of people on set who were in Nonstop to Comic-Con, actually, who were coming in to do some one-day roles with us. So that was kind of a fun little reunion. And it was a damn good time. And there's a lot of really neat material for you guys to watch online. Not only do you get to see like this massive 4-minute trailer for the movie, but you also get to see this badass music video that we put together for the theme song for Bloodsucker Jones. So I highly recommend everybody check it out. Even if you don't put in any money, just check out the badass content that I have crafted with my own two hands to put in front of your eyes.
Oh, use your hands like a baby's toy.
It's like a baby's toy.
Yeah, do it. Find them. Give generously.
Please.
Yeah, so they can make more rusty roof memes. Well, cool. This was fun. I'm glad I'm back. And you guys...
You're back.
I don't know. The show last week was pretty good without me.
Well, you don't cringe quite like Jeff does when we make our terrible, terrible comments.
No, I feel like the Jeff show was better. No. I feel like he's better than me. I should just...
He's better at you at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
I would hope so.
He's got slammies.
Yeah, he's got the Owen Hart level slam. He's just gonna carry it out. So yeah, definitely. Thanks to Jeff for filling in. He did a great job. He made it sound like we never invite him back, but it's like
he doesn't want to come back. We have him on the show. He gets grossed out and takes a rape shower, and then a year goes by. Then he comes back and forgets. Yeah, he buries it so deep in his subconscious.
and then within 5 minutes we dig that all back up to the
surface. Yeah, just come at him like a wrecking ball.
Yeah, we assumed that the 300 time difference was a deal breaker, but you can come back anytime, Jeff, and I can even be on the show, so we can hit you with 3 barrels.
Oh.
You know, it's a special shotgun.
Yeah.
All holes filled.
Hit you with 3. Yeah, all holes filled. But yeah, make sure you listen to Jeff and Tyler on the Comic Corner podcast on the Geek Legacy Network. They talk about comics on their pull list. They did a nice little thing on the whole Captain America's Hydra thing. The internet just fucking lost their shit. But they're definitely worth checking out. Then Justin and Stephen K. James doing the Pixelated Podcast every Friday for your ear holes. And they're kicking ass as well, talking about video games. Make sure you like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy. If you got a dirty meme, shoot us a dirty meme on at Geek Legacy so we know that you listen to this podcast.
Dirtier the better.
Yeah, we'll grade them. We'll all throw up a number 1 to 10, and hopefully get some perfect scores. Maybe we'll send you something. Maybe we'll send you something from the prize vault. I just got something I can send you. The dirtiest meme that someone sends to me, I will send you the first season of Vinyl on Blu-ray, the HBO show. So send me a dirty meme. You might win something. I'm sure HBO would love that's what I told them I was going to do it as a contest. Yeah. I'm sure they'd love this as the contest. So. At Geek Legacy, dirty memes. You cannot send us too many.
There's no such thing as too dirty either.
Yeah. If you're thinking about should I send it, the answer is yes.
Oh,
if you're thinking about am I sending too many, the answer is no. You can't send too many. So send them the dirtier the better. And talk to you guys later. GeekLegacy.com.